I could disassemble thoughts the mind was giving me and find a gap in between them and find this place of beingness and connect with, I don't know what terminology to use, my higher self, my beingness, whatever, but a divine channel in me. And as this began to progress, and I began to seem to become able to manipulate it more, what I call the mind or the ego reinvented itself into something I couldn't recognize anymore. So I could not.
It's a mental gymnastic there a little bit because.
Yes, and it became more vicious.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And the further I got with this process and thought, oh, I'm getting somewhere finally, then.
He created a huge idol.
No.
Well, the mind came back in another guise, in another disguise.
Right.
That I could not recognize. And I found out I'm following it again.
You see, that's what I was going to say. As soon as you see, when people say I have a chaotic life, they're only saying I have a chaotic mind. Mm-hmm. That's all it means, and they can explain to me, otherwise I will not buy it. Mm-hmm. Chaotic life is a reflection of a chaotic mind. The truth is very simple, just be. Not this or that. We are not even here to achieve. What are we here to achieve? What is it to achieve? Just to be. And the reason we talk about just to be in a natural state is because the world is really screaming for help. And the biggest help we can do is stay in our state of being. You know? And how many people try to help the world and look where it is? It's not in the right place. So we stay in the center of our being, and that's all. And I tell you, there is a lot of activities, mental activities, that goes in disguise of spirituality that is not even worth having them. It really is not worth having them.
It tricks you.
Yes. And have you watched the Little Buddha?
Mm.
Oh, you should rent it. We watched it. Remember the last scene under the banyan tree? The Buddha's ego came as a holy man.
I never saw it.
You never saw it. Ida, you did? Who did?
I did.
None of us.
Many times.
We sure did.
You guys are part of it.
Now, we've talked about it several times.
Yes, we did. So I think I saw portions of it. I think it was on TV one night. And I didn't know
so
what the
rent
title
it.
Was.
Rent it. Okay. It's really magnificent. Little Buddha.
Okay.
Now, is it Keanu Reeves?
Can you get it anywhere?
Yeah, Keanu Reeves.
Then it was that movie, yes.
Yes, Keanu Reeves.
Can
you can
get it
anywhere? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You can, where did we get it?
We got it on Hollywood Video.
Hollywood Video.
Right.
And it shows that Buddha, exactly what we talked about tonight.
Do we need
tonight.
To know the ending in order to, I mean,
I want you to pay really attention. No, no, no. You cannot. You have to pay attention at the two times he will be under the banyan tree. The second time is unbelievable. The first time it just wakes him up.
Mm-hmm.
From a wrong path he was taking. So, but the thing is that you will see the state of being in him when he is sitting under the banyan tree. Any other question about Sai Baba? Did you form your question about Baba? Not yet.
I'm just curious about Sai Baba, who Sai Baba is. I've heard references. I've heard people talk briefly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the example I gave you about Carolyn Mace, her story about.
Yeah, there is the stories, the millions of stories, and they're all true because I've been with many of them that had it, and also including myself and my family. Sai Baba is a holy man that is an avatar, means reincarnation of huge power of God, divinity. And he has three manifestations. One was Shridi Baba.
Mm.
8 years after the passing of Shridi Baba was Sai Baba. And 8 years after this passing of his body will become Prema Baba. And he says there is only one language, a language of the heart. The there is only one caste of humanity, and there is only one religion of love, and there is only one God, He's omnipresent. So that probably, if anybody gives any attention to that, the leaders of any religion, they understand that they need to come together as a unity, that there is no differences really. And the first 35 years of his life was strictly miracles. Then there was a lot of teaching. And now he's going more and more into silence. He said he would be 80 years old. And he's here to wake us up, for those of us that are ready to be awoken.
I'm sorry, what was the first? I know the last two. What was the first?
The saying, there is only one language of the heart, one religion of the love, and one caste of humanity, and one God, He's omnipresent. And so we went to see him at 81, and ever since we are his devotee. And we have his center in our home, and the only center actually in Reno. And there are times that over a million people go to see him on his birthday. And we have been there where there was 400,000 people. Very, very crowded. But so that's our teacher, and it's really, really nice to have a teacher that is genuine, because the struggle that one has to go would decrease. Not that we don't struggle, it just we have a clarity and grace to, I probably would not be sitting here if I had not met him. So he's been a big figure in my life.
How did you come to meet him again?
I used to do TM meditation, transcendental meditation, some years ago. And then my whole family was doing, my mom and my father and Richard and I, we didn't have kids then. And then in one of the meetings we went, there were about 200-300 people. They had one of the speakers, Maharishi, who has the TM. And this speaker used to come and give a talk in Holiday Inn on the river, Hernande. So one of the time we went to see him, and of course my prayer was that I wanted to come face to face with God, because I had an unbelievable thirst for knowing the cause of suffering and to get some answer from God. And so that search in my life started at age 18. So we went to one of the meetings, and in there, Richard and I were sitting with a whole bunch of people, and the speaker said that my best friend, Mr. Cohen, had just come back from India, where Baba resurrected him after 3 days that he was dead. They were about to send his body back. Of course, this story, it didn't hit me at all, because I didn't know what resurrection was. I didn't care. What hit me was the name of Baba. As soon as I hear it, I knew it. You know, it just, something in my heart just felt it really strongly. And so after that day, we found a book on him and we read it, which was Avatar book, which is all about, did I give it to you? It talks about all his miracles. And then we went to India after 2-3 months. Mm-hmm. I left the kids and everything here. And so you know it. When something rings the truth, unmistakably is the truth. When something really pierces your ordinary way of thinking, ordinary way of acting, something greater than yourself begins to move within yourself. That's how you know you are in the right place. And that's exactly what happened to us when we went. And I want to, also before I finish, I want to know that, I want to say that Jesus said that I didn't come here to make peace. I came here to make war. And that means that when the truth is spoken, if you are set in a certain way with your ego, it will bring a lot of conflict out, only to remove it. It's not a peacemaker if someone has a huge ego. It is a breaker. It's a damn good breaker. Mm-hmm. So the first few times we went to see Sai Baba, it was very hard, very harsh. But the ego, which means body identification, had to come to the surface and be recognized and be remedied and removed. So some people say, you know, I had such a good meditation then, and I have this. It only goes to show you that in life, once we start tasting the bliss inside, until then, there's always like a pendulum going back and forth. And then after a while, the teacher has to go away in order for the comforter to come. In other words, the teacher moves away, and then your inner is ready to receive you completely, forever. Then you don't need anybody, ever, ever. Namaste.
Namaste.
Call that tape miscellaneous.
I was going to call it potpourri.
Yeah.